Now let's open our Bible again to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I won't read that entire passage. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 21. But I do want to read several of the verses. Look, please, at verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Look at this promise, folks. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." The theme of this message today is just one sheep. And I'm referring to each one of us today who's a believer. We are just one of the Lord's sheep. I know that one of the most well-loved chapters of the Bible is Psalm 23, and I think we'd be amazed this morning to realize how many people here could recite Psalm 23 by memory. But let's turn back to that psalm. Psalm chapter 23, please. I know this is one of the favorite passages of God's Word for most people who are Christians. It's David's testimony of his relationship with the Lord. And you notice the word Lord in Psalm 23, verse 1 is in capitals. That's the name for Israel's God, Yahweh, Jehovah. It's a synonym for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in John chapter 10, when Jesus claims to be the shepherd, he's referring to this statement, this promise of Psalm 23. The Lord, that's Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, my Savior, is my shepherd. I shall not want. That means he is everything we need. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. What a promise. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Friends, that's a promise. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that was a testimony of King David, perhaps the greatest king of Israel, with the exception of the coming king, King Jesus. And it's a warm-hearted psalm, Psalm 23, concerning our personal relationship, written by a Jewish shepherd boy, concerning his daily relationship with the Savior Lord, as revealed to us by the written scriptures. The promise of God's book, folks, is that we have that same intimate love relationship with Yahweh, with the Lord, with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I read it and think of John 10 and John and Matthew 23, I'm just so thankful and impressed that I'm just one of his sheep. I was lost, and he searched and found me, and he brought me back to the sheepfold. I'd also like to have you turn to Luke chapter 15 and read that statement from Jesus concerning what happened in your life and my life at one time when we realized that we were lost sheep. Let's read Luke chapter 15, and we'll start with verse 1. You just please follow. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners, and he eats with them." I'm so thankful that's true, aren't you? Because we're sinners. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it?" Now, dear believer this morning, I want you to know that he's talking about you. He's talking about me. We were the lost one. And he went into the wilderness until he found us. And when he has found us, he lays us on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me. Now, this is concerning when he found you and me, when our heart was turned to him. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Now, listen to the application. He said, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now, that parable from Jesus relates to you and me. We were lost sheep. We were guilty. We were sinners. We were wandering far away from the Lord. And he left heaven. He came to the wilderness to search and to find us. And he found us. Aren't you thankful? Are you thankful that he found you, put you on his shoulders, and he took you to the sheepfold, the place of security and eternal salvation? I think the best commentary in the Bible, the best commentary anywhere concerning David's Psalm 23, is John chapter 10. It's the words of Jesus himself, the real shepherd, who laid down his life to save lost sheep. It's his promise that he is the Lord Shepherd of King David of Psalm 23, and he is the Lord Shepherd of every person who's one of his sheep. Are you one of his sheep? Can you relate to what he said in Luke 15, how you were lost in the wilderness, and he came out and found you? As Isaiah said, Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And Jesus, God's Son, the Shepherd, came from heaven into this wilderness to search and find us. Now, his commentary of how that applies to you and to me today and every day of our life is in John 10. And they're basically, as I looked at these first 21 verses, and I've been reading them, pondering them, studying them day after day for some time, his commentary tells us two paramount things that are encouraging for us who can say, I'm one of his sheep. As I bring the message this morning, as we look at this scripture, dear friend, can you say in your heart today, I'm his sheep. I'm just one of his sheep. Two things. We can enter the sheepfold. He talked about that. And we can know the shepherd. Very simple things that Jesus is teaching in this commentary, John chapter 10. We can enter his sheepfold. Let's read that in the first six verses of John chapter 10. We can enter the sheepfold, the place of security and eternal salvation. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is verse 1 of chapter 10. He who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, the Lord is saying clearly and simply, and he always spoke in down-to-earth terms that the people could understand. Lots of religious, expert religious leaders were usually in his audience, but he was speaking for the common people who understood the shepherd and the sheep and the sheepfold. And Jesus is saying here that it's possible for every one of you in this audience, as he talked that day, to enter in through the door to the sheepfold. A number of weeks ago, we looked at Matthew 18, where Jesus again talked about a sheepfold, and he talked about a hundred little ones. He's speaking about little children at that time who are in the sheepfold. And he said when they get old enough, they'll go out of the sheepfold, and then the shepherd has to go and find them. And concerning these 100 little lambs or little ones, he said they're safe. They're safe in the sheepfold until they reach an age of responsibility when they choose to go out of the sheepfold. Then the shepherd, the good shepherd, has to go and find them. So what Christ was saying about children, little children, is they are safe until they come to the age when they need to be saved. And there are some little ones here today who are safe in the sheepfold, but All of us someday come to that place where we go out of the sheepfold and the shepherd must go and search for us and bring us back to himself. Now, Jesus is teaching in this scripture today how to have the assurance and the security for this day of life, and he teaches us to live this day of life one day at a time, and then security forever. Because the sheepfold that Christ is talking about is an earthly example of a refuge, a place of security, a place of safety in the context of a dangerous world. I doubt if anyone in our audience today would say, this is not a dangerous world. We're living in a dangerous world. But this book that you and I love says there's a place of security. It's a sheepfold. 2 weeks ago, when we looked at the Word of God, I had you follow me in Psalm 91. Now, I want you to go back there again today, please. Psalm chapter 91. And though I read this verse by verse in our last message concerning learn of Christ, I want to do it again because I think this is one of the most beautiful passages of God's Word describing the security of the sheepfold. It's Psalm 91. I'll begin at verse 1, and please just follow carefully. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, that's security, and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. This is talking about security. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Now, this is because we're in the place of security. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you, because you're in the refuge, the sheepfold. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall, think of this, folks, he shall give his angels charge over you. Do you think that's a true statement? He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Think of this. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because, now God is speaking to the one who is in the refuge, because he set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I love that psalm. I'm in the process of memorizing that for my own life because it speaks of the security that we have when we come into Jesus Christ's sheepfold. Now at that time, when Jesus spoke the words of John chapter 10, there were about 250 million people in the world. 250 million. We have more than that in America today. Today there are 7 billion people. And it's a dangerous, hostile, hopeless world outside of the sheepfold. Do you feel that way also? It's a threatening world outside of the sheepfold. But Jesus is illustrating God's promise concerning the refuge where believers will be safe at all times. A place where we will be protected from the savage wolves and the dangers outside of the sheepfold. And what he's teaching that crowd of people that day listening to him, those simple Jewish people who knew about sheepfolds and who knew about being shepherds. He's saying there must be a time in every man's life, and this is a point of paramount urgency, folks. There must be a time in a person's life when you choose to enter the sheepfold. Can you think of that for yourself? And if you're wondering about it, the evidence that you made that choice sometime in your life is that that's the choice of your mind and heart right now. You want to be in the sheepfold. And Jesus said, there's just one door. And I've seen those various sheepfolds in Israel when I visited. And some of you have been there and have seen it. And there were rock walls out in the wilderness with just one opening. And the shepherd would even lie down over that opening to protect the sheep inside and to prevent them from leaving and from predators coming in. And there was just one door. And Jesus is saying a man must choose to enter the door. I hope that's an encouraging truth from Scripture today. To know in your own heart that that's the choice of your life. Sometime there was a choice when you came to Christ. You were converted to Christ. You came with repentance, a change of heart and mind toward yourself concerning your sin and toward God. And you came and you trusted His Savior Son. He's talking about entering the sheepfold. Now, there are two important things I see in these six verses I want to highlight relative to entering into this place of refuge. First of all, Jesus said there are thieves and robbers. And He's saying that because we need to be cautious of that. For example, Jesus is saying a gentle shepherd would find a lost lamb or a lost sheep and he'd clutch it in his strong arms and he'd carry it back to the sheepfold where he himself would give his life to protect and care for that little sheep. But in contrast, a cruel-hearted thief and hireling would invade the sheepfold where he would roughly grab that helpless lamb by its neck and carry it away someplace to be destroyed. He's making that contrast. And so he's saying you need to know, if you want to be in that place of security, you need to know, Jesus said, that there are thieves and robbers. And folks, that just stirs up a question in my mind. Who are the thieves and robbers that Jesus is talking about? Let me read some scriptures from him. He said this. This is in Matthew 24 when he's talking about the end of the age in which you and I are living. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many, many, many will come in my name, professing the name of Jesus, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And he added this comment. He said, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So we need to realize that Jesus is saying, in this time of history, there are many deceivers and robbers. Listen to these words from the book of Acts. It talks of this same thing. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, listen to Paul. After my departure, he said, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, Paul was really concerned at that time that there are thieves and robbers, false teachers who will come in and destroy those for whom Jesus Christ died. Listen to this word in his comment to the Corinthian church. He said, for such are false prophets. He's talking about professing religious teachers. They're false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for think of this, folks. Paul said this, and the Holy Spirit's moving him to write these words. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness whose end will be according to the works. Now, Jesus is going to tell us, he's warning us about the thieves and robbers, and he's going to tell us very clearly in this text how to know the true shepherd and to avoid the thieves and the robbers and the false Christ and the false prophets. Now, the truth is, if a sinner follows the Savior Shepherd, Jesus Christ, he will take us to the security. He will keep us in the security of the sheepfold. And if we're captured by a deceiver, a false shepherd, he'll carry us away to be destroyed. We read that in verse 10. The thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. The good shepherd comes that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, how can we be sure that we won't be deceived by a false teacher. And he put it this way, the voice of the true shepherd. Those who are sheep are listening to the voice of the true shepherd. And friends, with that statement, Jesus shows all lost sheep how to know and how to follow the true shepherd. Hear and recognize his voice. Folks, for over 2 years, we've been in a Sunday morning series called Learn of Me. And we've been going through the four Gospels to learn truth from Jesus, our dear Savior. And the thing that has really impressed me as a preacher in this series of messages is that over and over, God is teaching us our destiny depends upon hearing and recognizing the voice of Jesus Christ. Friends, this is a definition by Jesus of what is the true word of God. What is the true message of salvation? Hear and recognize the word of God. Do you know, and all of us in this place today have a Bible in our hands. We treasure and love the Bible, and during the days of the week we read and study and memorize the Bible. Here's how Jesus defines the Bible. It's the voice of the true shepherd. You hold it in your hands right now. We're reading from it. We're studying it. The Bible is the voice of the true shepherd. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind when I make this comparison. The voice of the Seventh-day Adventist religion is G. Ellen White. They have another sacred book that they hear as God's word. The voice of Mormonism is Joseph Smith, who supposedly gave them the Book of Mormons. The voice of Christian Science is Mary Baker Eddy. That's a sacred book for the people who belong to the Christian Science religion. The voice of Roman Catholicism, a billion Roman Catholic people in the world today, the voice of Roman Catholicism is the Pope and Roman Catholic tradition. Jesus is saying that day to the people in his audience, if you want to hear the voice of the true shepherd, the voice of the true shepherd is the sacred scriptures that God has given to us. And as I share these things, as I studied for this message today, I literally asked myself the question, Pastor Richard Krenz, why do you believe what you believe? Why do you preach what you preach? Why do you teach others the message that you teach week after week? And the answer, folks, is this: because of the voice of God's Savior Son, the Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Often I encourage you to memorize Scripture. And again, I want to challenge you to do that, dear people, because if you want to hear the voice of God, you do it by hearing the written Scriptures. And let me just say this as a passing comment. I'd like to suggest to you to memorize the 14th chapter of John, for example, in this difficult time. It's one thing to read it and go back and know where it is, but to memorize it, have it in your mind and heart. It'll be a daily lifetime blessing. Jesus Christ said this, Father, you sanctify your people by your word, which is truth, the Scriptures. Jesus said to a crowd, and we looked at this a few weeks ago, he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you want to live as a person who's free? Because you belong to the shepherd. So Jesus, first of all, talked about entering the sheepfold. And he said, we need to be cautious of thieves and robbers in the realm of Christianity. And we need to always determine our faith by the voice of the true shepherd. This book is where you hear the voice of that true shepherd who laid down his life for us. Now, the other thing he mentioned in this text that I wanted to highlight, hoping it be a blessing and encouragement to all of us today, we need to enter the sheepfold, but we can know the good shepherd also. That's what he's saying. Follow as I start in verse 7. And just think of this carefully, dear friends, as it relates to you as an individual. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheepfold. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. Now watch this. I am known by my own. My sheep know me, he is saying. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I've received from my Father. Now I realize, folks, we could spend weeks looking at the statements of John chapter 10, and we're just taking a quick, somewhat overview of this part of the scripture. But the paramount thing that in these verses which we've just read is this. It's possible for a human being on this planet to know the good shepherd. How does that stir you in your mind and heart and soul today? Can you think of any proposition from Scripture, from the Creator, Savior, man, more awesome in terms of practical significance than the fact I can know this shepherd? Not know about him, but I can have a personal, intimate relationship with him. And it's kind of like this, as though Jesus is looking straight into your eyes, your mind, and your heart, and he's making this promise as he talks right to you. He's saying, you can know me. And it stirs this question in my mind, is there any offer from God that stirs up more desire and hope in my heart than to know Jesus Christ, the shepherd? Listen to this from Jeremiah. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man in his riches. Listen carefully. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. What a privilege to know the Creator, the Savior, the Good Shepherd. John put it this way, 1 John chapter 5. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And Paul expressed it with his own heart when he said, I want to know him. On the day before Jesus died, he talked to his Father. We have the privilege of listening to him as he prayed that intense prayer of John chapter 17. And he said to the Father, he said, Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the true God, and your Son whom you've sent from heaven. What a fabulous opportunity it is for men living today to know him in an intimate relationship as our true shepherd. Now, I read that paragraph where he explained that privilege. But notice, he said he is the door to that safe sheepfold. There's no confusion about how one enters into that door. Clearly, the sheepfold, in the terms used by Jesus here, speaks of eternal security and personal salvation forever. But he said he's the door by which you enter. And I was reading just today Genesis chapter 7, the story of the flood, when God destroyed the whole human race. The whole human race with a flood that he sent out on planet Earth. And we know that story, and it's not a fable, it's not a fairy tale, how that Noah built the ark, a building five times as long as this church building, 400 feet long. I think it was 75 feet wide and three stories to take care of all of the animals of the earth, to spare them. But the thing I was reading that chapter about was that the Lord said, no, Noah, the time has come. For 120 years, Noah has been warning people and preaching God's message of salvation to the people, and no one's believed him. Now God said, the time has come, Noah, for you and your family to go into the ark. And in Genesis chapter 7, it tells us this, that Noah and his family and all of the animals that God brought went into that huge barge that Noah had been building for 120 years. And it says this, and the Lord shut him in. And in my mind and heart, I can see that scene as the animals and then Noah and his family go in. They go through that one door. And what the Bible is telling us, folks, today is that every unsaved sinner, every lost sheep must believe that Jesus is the only door, and men must make a choice to enter through that door. And he said in verse 10 and 11, "For one who comes into the door," he said, "I give him life." And what wonderful simplicity this is, that Jesus, our Savior, gave his life so that we could have his life. In contrast to what people think about Christianity or religion, they think, if maybe if I do this or that, I'll gain God's favor, or I live up to these standards or to this law. And that's not how it works. Jesus said, "I gave my life so that you can have my life." And friends, that's the simplicity of what it means to be saved. It means to have the life, the very life that Jesus gave when he was on the cross, the life he poured out on our behalf. He'll give us his life, and now we have the life of the Son of God. And he said, "If you do know me and you do enter into that door, I'll never abandon you." Folks, he said, "I'll never forsake you. I won't be like a hireling who turns away when the wolves come, when the predators come. But I'll stay there. I'll always stay there with you and protect you." And folks, doesn't that stir up some questions? What if I fail? What if I stumble and go astray? What if my faith falters at times? What if Satan assaults my mind with doubts and confusion? What if I fail to witness? What if I become discouraged and depressed? Listen again to the answer of Jesus Christ in verse 12. Listen again. "A hireling, he was not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." That's the hireling. Verse 13, "The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I'm known by my own." And he's saying, "I will never abandon you." Jesus Christ will never leave us. He'll always care for us till we're in heaven forever. And he speaks to his sheep, verse 15 and 16. "And the most assuring thing that he speaks to you and me is this: I lay down my life for you. Can you believe that today? That Jesus Christ would literally lay down his life for us? I mean, when we hear the rumbling of a storm, of a threatening storm, And our faith seems to be so challenged, and the thieves and the predators are coming after us, this is the promise, folks. This is the promise that we hold on to. If we know the shepherd, when we know the shepherd, and he has power to lay down his life for the sheep," he said. I'm startled at that statement. He said, "I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again." I was recently talking with a friend from Wausau who told me of one of my acquaintances who wasn't feeling well. Not extremely old person, but he wasn't feeling well, so he went to the physician to see what might be wrong. And the physician came back to him and said, "You have 1 week to live. Just 1 week left in life." And he hadn't been ill. And within a week, they had his funeral. When I think of that friend, he was a Christian. He was a believer. In contrast to what Jesus is saying, Jesus said, "I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again." But that man didn't have power to lay down his life, and he didn't have power to take it again. None of us do. Only God's shepherd son could do that. And could make the choice to lay down his life for you and me, and take it back, so you and I could have the free gift of eternal salvation forever in the refuge, the sheepfold. I want you to look at the conclusion of this story, please. Start at verse 19. I think this is an important part of the conclusion that John the Apostle put into this story. "Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings." Now, notice what happened. People were divided concerning what Jesus said. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" I'm just so impressed when I look at that, at how people respond to such great promises as we've been looking at in Scripture today. Some responded with fierce hatred, and others responded with a confident faith. And the reason I'm pointing that out, folks, today is so that you and I can examine our own personal response. I know I'm talking to most people who've loved Jesus Christ. We believe He's our shepherd. We've entered into the sheepfold. But each one of us needs to consider, how do I respond to these statements from Jesus Christ? That you can enter the sheepfold and you can know the shepherd and be saved forever. When I read this example and the words Jesus talked about, I thought of people who abuse animals. He's talking about hirelings who would abuse the animals. And I'm always grieved when I hear of people who mistreat their animals. For example, they drop them off in a cold wilderness. Or they tie them out in the backyard during these cold days and they leave them in the bitter, cold darkness. And then if the dog whines or barks, they go out and kick or beat him. Or they neglect to give him food and water, hot summer days. That's what Jesus was talking about, folks, when he was talking about hirelings, false teachers. But Jesus said, I'm not that. And we can give him thanks today that he's a kind shepherd who loves his sheep. He found us. He went into the wilderness. He paid a great price to find us. And he deliberately knelt down and picked us up as a lost, wounded sheep, lamb, put us on his shoulders, and he took us back, took us to the sheepfold to be saved forever. That's what he meant when he said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And there are two special words that we read in our text today that I hope might be a great encouragement to each one of us. His own. If you've entered the door, you are his own. He owns you. You belong to him. And he'll take care of you forever. Please bow with me in a prayer right now. Father, the longing of my heart as a preacher, as a Christian, is that the word that we've looked at today will be pleasing. What we've said and considered will be pleasing to you, Father, and be encouraging to every person who's here today. And also for those who will listen to this message on the internet or by CDs, Father, I pray for each one to know the shepherd, your Son, Jesus. Thanks for such great promise, truth you've given us, Father. And I pray that you cause it to be more than just a sermon, but make it to be your word, your promise, your voice. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.